wrong person, or they may some the bullet may go to someone else. So for me, okay, I'm against that because of public safety and so on. But I think what it is that, well, they're killing people too. So maybe that's sort of where it comes in.
And that's where, that's a lot of the discussion. It's like, okay, you know, okay, this guy shouldn't have done this, but, you know, many people saw him as striking a blow, you know, for the public against these companies because they're killing people too. Now, you know, we can't, this isn't how we can operate, you know, if we want to have healthy democracies. You know, we can't have people taking things into their own hands and trying to mete out what they consider justice like this. But we also can't ignore, when we look at this reaction, you know, the great deal of anger that clearly is bubbling beneath the surface around this issue, and perhaps also just the issue of, you know, income inequality and the sort of power accumulation that's happening in, you know, with corporations and, you know, the very rich sort of manager class of companies.
Well, the shootist is a type of anarchist in a way. Mm-hmm. You could argue, like, he's saying, I said a type because there's many types, which will, in the following weeks, we'll go over them. But so he's a type of anarchist. I would, you know, it's funny that the person who killed President McKinley, 1901, supposedly one of the Hearst papers advocated the assassination. And the guy read it and said, oh, sounds like a good idea. The problem was Randolph Hearst, who they based the film Citizen Kane on. He's called Charles Foster Kane in it. But he had so many papers. It was like, oh, one of them had, one columnist had advocated it. So, no, it's not a good thing, but there's sort of you can see why people are sympathetic, you know.
Mm-hmm. One of the other thing that's interesting about the discussion online, you know, first off, as I say, is the sort of unanimity of the opinion, in that there's so little, you know, sympathy for the corporations or the individual, and such pushback against anyone who tries to push that position, but also a certain unanimity amongst people on the left and the right in this. You know, it typically, you know, on, you know, almost anything online, political online, you know, people just sort of take up sides, and you're, you know, if you're on the left or a liberal or you're the right or a conservative, and it's like, there's no meeting of the minds these days, and, you know, argue. And you're not seeing that online either. You know, people in conservative spaces are angry and unsympathetic, as are people in liberal or progressive spaces are angry and unsympathetic.
No, Magnus, I'm a bit, I guess I'm more concerned because I live in the Metro Vancouver. I live in the Lougheed Mall area, and I go downtown. There was an incident where the police at the 7-Eleven across from the main central library had an incident.
Yeah.
And there was actually not only that. There was some other person had just punched somebody out of nowhere. So, I mean, I guess this one, I'm sort of, because we can't really be chauvinistic about ourselves. We're actually having some incidences, whatever reason it is. And I'm going to add one more thing. I was hearing the competition, CBC Radio, this morning. They were talking about how people that get cancer in Canada wind up having to pay for a lot of stuff, and that's not covered here. So we got problems too.
So one final thing I wanted to say around this issue too is, when you look at that, this online reaction, and the fact that I think part of it comes from the fact that there hasn't, since the bringing in Obamacare 15 years ago, there hasn't been, in the States anyway, much of a discussion around further reform of healthcare. But obviously people are very upset about it, you know, more broadly. And sometimes when I think about, when you look at this kind of reaction and you see how it spans across the left and the right, in some ways it kind of explains, perhaps explains, you know, Trump's victory too. Because I don't think, you know, all these folks who are, you know, commenting online that want a whole lot of people to start running around shooting people, you know, for political purposes and, you know, taking out people here and there.
Well, I looked into
but I think it does represent a great deal of anger. And it seems like if you have no other avenues to have this conversation, then anything that seems to advance it, even if it's, you know, as awful as a murder.
But what I want to interject
is I'm not quite finished my point. You know, is something they not to be condemned, you know, because anything is better than nothing. And sometimes I wonder in the Trump victory too, you know, one thing you could say is one thing that Trump promised was disruption and change, and one thing the Democrats promised for the most part with Biden and Harris was kind of the continuation of the status quo. And I wonder how many people voted for Trump just because it was going to be changed. Lots of people have said that. And they didn't, you know, any change, even if it was going to make things worse, was better than just riding along doing the same old thing.
Well, what I want to interject was some people really fought. Well, but the slang term is Obamacare. That's not specifically what it is. But, and I actually heard, at the Bellingham station used to have Sean Hannity on the radio. Yeah. And I don't agree with Sean Hannity a lot, but they were bringing up some issues with it, that it wasn't working. It wasn't, they weren't getting but the Canadian system in a way. And they were, and for some people just felt, well, this is not working out for me. I'm going to say something else. Yep. Dwight D. Eisenhower in the late 50s attempted to have Canada not go towards the socialized medicine, which he failed doing, but he wanted to stop Canada from having it. So that's another thing.
I wonder if they thought that would influence events in the States. Obviously it didn't, because we're, you know, 60 plus years later and it still hasn't changed a lot. Okay.
We got something for Jaggy, because Jaggy is part of the community garden over in Montreal.
All right.
So maybe this guy's an anarchist too, this
perhaps
planter of plants.
All right. Well, let's turn to a more upbeat topic.
Christmas plants.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go.
I had a chance to talk with Pablo Vimas of Regular Gardening with Embark segment about what you can get your favorite gardener here for Christmas. There are let's have this conversation. This is Gardening with Embark and Christmas gifts for gardeners. All right, it's time for Gardening with Embark. We've taken a little break, but we're coming back to talk to you again. And joining me, as always, is Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability.
Nice to be here.
It's December, and what week are we in now?
Week 49. Yeah, that's yes, four more weeks, and we are 52. So, yeah, we are looking forward for the end of this year and excited for a new gardening season.
Yeah. So it's a quiet time in the garden, but it's a good time to be thinking about both next year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But also Christmas is coming up. And people may be thinking about what they can get for their friends and loved ones who enjoy the garden.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So we gardeners really love lots of things. We are gadget people.
Yeah.
And
it's funny, you don't necessarily think of gardening as a gadget thing, but I imagine there's lots of handy tools.
Lots of handy tools that become very useful once you are looking for a tool that can do the job that needs to be done on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I have, for instance, we can have tools itself, or we can have supplies. We also love some supplies.
Yeah.
And clothes always is welcome.
Yeah.
And then we, also miscellaneous, like here and there we would like to, well, we can give to gardeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can,
yeah,
I can share some of those ideas.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. So, for instance, for tools, all gardeners love a good pair of bypass pruners.
Yeah.
Never there is too many pruners because when you need it, they are all over the place. So a right. set of pruners. Pruners are leads that can cut half an inch twigs. Because, yeah. you know, and January is a month that we spend. It's kind of a spring. Actually, January is a spring-like weather.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, sunny, cold, chilly. But we are in the garden trimming here, trimming there, pruning yeah. the... Yeah, so that's why becomes yeah. very handy. And with pruning, we go with a folding saw
yeah.
because we don't want to have those saws that are just hanging there, getting rusted. So a folding saw that we can keep it nice and clean and tidy, tucked away, and we can use. So, yeah, that's... And as I say, we as well like kind of be a compact multi-tool.
Mm-hmm.
No,
something you can fit in your pocket?
Yeah, something like, for instance, you have a nail in there that needs to be removed. Something is poking out from the garden beds, needs to be removed. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, very awesome to have something in your pocket that you can use immediately. And then, yes, we gardeners are most of the time on knees.
Yeah.
So a good set of knee pads. We right. go through them very quick because we are just... Will yeah, I very much use knee pads for everything because I work on my knees. Even
yeah.
if we are garden beds, 26 inches tall, I still
right.
go on my knees. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, because you don't want to be bent over
correct.
For long periods of time. That's going to get really uncomfortable. So really, you need to be down there.
Yes, yeah, so or a mat, kneeling mat. So that will be helpful.
Yeah.
I'm very much with knee pads because the mat you need to lift it and drag it, and later you get tired. Like, all right.
Yeah, I can imagine that. He's like, oh. It's over there.
Yeah.
Now we got to go over and get it before I come back.
Yes. So we use knee pads there. Yeah.
I imagine most of the knee pads you find in the kneeling pads, presumably too, would all be sort of waterproof a bit, so you're not getting.
Yes. Yeah. So there are different quality.
Mm-hmm.
There's one have a very rubbing, thick rubber cover over the knee pad, which is
yep.
in fabric. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as you can see, we are collecting lots of tools, and those tools need to go somewhere.
Right, okay.
So a tool bag.
Yeah.
Personally, I carry all my tools with me because I visit garden to garden,
uh-huh.
and I can, and so I have my own tool bag. Those you can see electricians or people come to do plumbing.
Yeah.
They have these small toolbags
yeah.
with all the gear in there, so it's the same for
yeah.
us. For gardeners, it's all stuck in there.
Right. So do you favor one with sort of slots for things and
yes.
you know where you tuck them in and they have a particular place in the bag?
Correct. So
yeah.
there is those bags with a pockets inside.
Yeah.
23 pockets. You fill them with all the things that you and you have all compact. So
yeah.
I don't spend much time looking where my tools are. I know that everything is
right.
in my bag.
So for you, and I imagine you have a fair number of tools.
I do, yeah.
But what sort of size dimension are you talking about? Because, you know, getting something too small would be...
It's,
you know, people want to avoid that.
Yeah, yeah. No, not too small. It's something like you can... It's a backpack itself.
Okay.
Yes, it's a backpack size.
Right.
Yeah. And then you can get from, yeah, the construction sites, yeah, the toolboxes, yeah. And yeah, as well, as you can see, slowly we're getting into tools and power tools
right
now. So extra set of batteries is always welcome.
Yeah.
For instance, if you have your weed walker, weed whacker, over this fall, so an extra set of batteries allows you to work 45 more minutes
right.
without having to say, oh, I have to stop because I need to charge my battery. So,
yeah.
And for summer, throughout the year, a good harvesting basket.
Right.
So we always are looking for containers where we can keep our produce clean, and as well help allows us to wash immediately before right. bringing home. I very much like to wash my produce in the garden, mm-hmm. so all the dirt stays in the garden, no clogging the right. sink at home.
Yeah. Right. So what does that look like?
All the harvesting baskets have kind of a mesh, mm-hmm. so the water just or the dirt just yep. goes through. So it's nothing solid.
Right.
Yeah. So as well allows us to rinse it. The water drains and yeah. the produce dries out very quickly.
Yeah. Is that typically made of plastic or is it?
Typically made of plastic. If you are a handyman and you want to do something, you can make as well yeah. lots of designs using wood and chicken mesh.
Right.
Yeah. Then we can go to supplies.
Yeah.
You know, we gardeners like to label everything. Mm-hmm. So we plant our seeds and a label goes in there.
Yeah,
and
those a label
yeah. so yeah. plastic labels and Sharpies. We go with a ton of Sharpies.
Right.
So Sharpies is good for labeling anything that we start vegetables early in the season in February. So we need something to write with.
And I imagine you can buy sort of little labels that at the garden store that maybe have a sticker or whatever.
Yes. I prefer the ones that are just a single, a small plastic label, flat.
Yeah.
So we can write in there, and the other thing is that I say, once you write with Sharpie, it will never go off.
Yeah.
There you find something. There is this easy off
yeah.
for cleaning your oven.
Uh-huh.
That is.
Oh,
just
okay.
place some easy off in a tissue and rub it on your plastic labels. And the Sharpie disappears, and you have a new label.
So you can reuse.
Reuse it.
Excellent.
Yes. So, after experimenting different products, cleaning products, I came up with that. I found out that this Easy Off is the best to clean yeah. anything. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. We also like twine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, twine and a twine container. You know, we are. If we are harvesting herbs, like
yep.
chives, better to make a bunch first, tie it a bunch before cutting.
Right.
Yeah, so we go through twine quite a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. And we gardeners, particularly myself during the summer, I go through a dozen of gloves, gardening gloves.
Yeah.
But those gardening gloves are very thin for winter.
Mm-hmm.
So in winter now, I use a winter working garden gloves.
Yeah.
So they are nice with fleece inside, mm-hmm. thermal fleece, and outside are covered with latex.
Right.
So they're waterproof, warm, so I still can do my duties in the garden without having the regular garden gloves that once they get wet, the hands get cold and wet as well. And
That's got to be so important in terms of being able to enjoy yourself with the work you're doing in the cold weather.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, a nice set of winter gloves for the gardening. Yeah.
And then, of course, summer gloves for the summer.
For the summer, indeed.
Lighter gloves.
Yes. And, the gardening gloves we tend to wash quite often.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, now and then you will leave forgotten in the sun. And when you go to collect them, they're all kind of, the latex kind of melts and becomes very sticky. And, that goes to the garbage bin. So that will be regarding supplies for clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We gardeners tend to get a tan over the summer. All our forearms and arms are all tan and lots of scratch because we need to reach here, reach there. We scratch ourselves. So a set of arm sleeves,
mm-hmm.
good. It's a good present.
Right.
So
those are like sort of the ones you just sort of pull up.
Pull up, yes.
And they sort of go from the wrist to the shoulder.
Shoulder, yeah.
And they're sort of a tough material that really protects you
Correct.
From that.
Correct. Tough material, yeah. And so if you are weeding and if you are close to sharp objects, you don't get a scratch. And at the same time, it protects you from the sun.
Right. Yeah, excellent.
So that's good. And the other is if you, like myself, I like to have a thick cotton working shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So a thick work shirt. So I just put on top of my t-shirt with the sleeves and I can go anywhere, even if it is The stinging nettles,
yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
My arms are protected. Yeah.
Excellent.
So, finally, we have other little things like we need to care after our hands, so cream for our hands, working hands, mm-hmm. cream. We gardeners love to hear from other gardeners and as well what is happening in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
So having a membership to a gardening magazine.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. You know, having four magazines in a year because that's how they do. And that's, you know, keep you with what's happening there, new technologies, new way of thinking, mm-hmm. new, yeah. So a membership to a gardening magazine.
Great.
And yeah, seeds are always welcome, and any container big enough for storing your seeds.
Yeah.
So even if it's an old thing of biscuits or cookies that you had in there, and a packet of seeds fits in there.
Yeah.
We always welcome because we need to keep store our seeds over the winter, and when we go to the garden, we know that there is a special. Object that holds the seeds, and seeds don't get wet, they don't get spoiled. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, there are some ideas that, as you can see, there are so many ideas for gardeners, and we just love it to have things.
And those are some great ideas, because, you know, there's things I should have obviously thought of, like the gloves, you know, or a hat, but a lot of things, you know, like the shears and the toolkit, and, you know, those are some great ideas that, you know, those of us who aren't experienced gardeners may not be thinking of for mm-hmm. the other people in our life who are out in the garden and getting them something that would be really nice that they're going to appreciate and use throughout the year.
Yes, we will be using throughout the year. Yeah,
yeah.
So set of gloves, protection, tools.
Yeah.
And learning. We gardeners are curious people and we like to keep learning.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for bringing these ideas to us, Pablo.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to share some of those.
It is great. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM, and this is a segment that airs regularly on our Monday program, Gardening with Embark, with Pablo Vimas, and we'll be back in the new year when the gardening season picks up again. Thanks so much for coming to us today, Pablo. How do people find more about Embark?
Yeah, so Embark Sustainability Society is based in SFU, Burnaby Campus. And you can find us in our website, embarksustainability.org, or through our social channels, Embark Sustainability.
Excellent. Thanks so much for all these terrific gift ideas.
Yeah.
And we'll be back in the new year.
That's right. Yes. See you next.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Lots of great ideas there if you've got a gardener in your life. Peter,
anyway.
1966.
1960, the persons of the year, 25 and younger. Now, what's interesting is that the draft during the era of it was 2018 to 26. So I guess you were anticipating them being a year older and they go to Vietnam. I don't.
So this was anticipated future mover and shakers from identified in 1966.
Well, the title is 25 and under, and the cover has a man. And a woman's behind him, and they have all of the races, the Oriental, and sort of in a kind of the conventional Norman Rockwell kind of.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that the draft was 18 to 26 for males. I just want, and yet they didn't. I mean, okay, here
this
we
is
go.
The U.S. military draft.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway. Few of these young men and women have any doubt that they will one day be part of our society, he concluded. They wonder about where they will fit in, but not about weather. For the American fighting man in Vietnam, the weather does not even arise. Unlike his World War II or Korean predecessor, he has known all his life that he must serve a military tour of duty. Indeed, has planned it along with college, marriage, and a choice of vocation. From the moment he arises, usually aboard a comfortable troop ship, through his bivouac experience, under conditions less Ordeus, the most stateside weekend hunting trips to combat itself, as intense as any in history, but it's also brief. He is supported by the best that his country can offer, even though it is to fight a mean and dirty war. He is swiftly moved into and out of combat in planes, helicopters, and trucks. He has a camera, transistor, hot meals, regular mail. If he is hit, he can be hospitalized in 20 minutes. If he gets nervous, there are chaplains and psychiatrists on call. It's little wonder that he fights so well, and quite comprehensible that his main concern in off-duty hours is aiding the Vietnamese citizen. Among the fighting men, there's a great deal of the Peace Corps ardor that animates their peers back home. Non-protest. In the U.S., for all the attention and sought by the picket lines, petition, protest marchers, political activists on campus number at best 5% of the student bodies at such traditional cause consciousness universities as Chicago, Columbia, or California. Okay, it's not so great.
So that's a very sunny version of heading off to serve in Vietnam, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading directly from it. Sorry for reading, but I wanted it specific, yeah, what it said.
Comfortable troop ship, fast medical care, in and out of combat in a jiffy.
I mean, it was, and things were going to happen shortly in that world.
That changed a lot.
Of course, here in Canada, we didn't have the draft.
So in that list of 25 folks under 25,
yes,
do you recognize any of the names?
I mean, there was how many? A million? Millions? No, but the cover is just generic person. And he's the male is first, and then the woman's right behind him. It's a painting, right?
Right.
Then you have the other races, all male, behind them.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, things used to be different. And actually, there were a lot of things for me. One thing that's kind of bad is all the neon signs that are gone, because we were second to Las Vegas in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Up until like maybe late 60s, early 70s. And there was a great Coca-Cola neon sign across the Burrard Bridge. And it was the Coca-Cola bottling plant was not as such in the downtown side. You crossed the bridge and it had a totem pole.
Right.
And it was kinetic, which means that it moves. And how you make a neon sign move is that part of it is on, part of it is off.
Yeah.
And a good a kinetic sign always has something on,
yeah,
instead of just going on, off, on, off. And the last thing, the last one of these is at a bowling alley on Granville Street where you're going into the stairwell, 838 Granville.
Commodore Lanes, is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's on the ceiling, and it's probably from the Woodward's parking when they're pointing it.
Yeah.
And what's really neat about it is how it dances around. I don't know if you've seen it.
I think I have, but not for a while. It's been a while since I've been down to go bowling there.
So that's about the last of the actual kinetic signs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the thing about that studio, you know, like it's across from the Vogue, is that they don't have the S is not completely has the neon working half the time. No, one thing that's good is the on Terminal in Maine, Pacific Center is it called, or
Pacific Central?
Yes, and sometimes they have a
train station.
Sometimes they have a bit of problem. But sometimes they got it.
Yeah,
and so that's, and also it's really good was the lighting. I want the Marine building to have the lighting at night because they're part of Power Smart. I think they should bring back that lighting because if you look at in New York City, the Empire State Building has that lighting, and it makes us look bad because if we had the Marine building have the lighting that they used to have at night and the actual sun tower too, it would look better. Yeah. So that's,
bring back the neon.
Well, we do have neon as such, but it's actually but you need firms to right. do it, and that is sort of lost now because they break down and you got to have them fixed. It's sort of kind of another era, like all a right. lot of things are.
Well, that's our show for today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now. Peter and I will be back next
You're
week.
You're listening